to another episode of the Black Expat. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to talk about the topic that we are discussing today. Quick recap, I know you guys probably heard in the previous podcast about things that I don't have upcoming. You know, I want to do 9 months in Africa. I'm going back home for America for a short stint, a short period of time, to take care of family and get some things off the ground back at home, do fundraising, all that. So again, thanks for the questions, comments, and feedback that I got regarding previous episodes. And again, I'm definitely working on answering all the questions that I got coming in and touching on topics that you guys want to hear more about. So thanks for the votes. I just want to update everybody. The votes are in. We have to choose between which country would you rather spend 9 months in, whether it be Africa or whether it be South America. Africa won 55% to 45%. Got a bunch of votes on the CP Travels Facebook page. I'll be posting another poll about different locations and different topics as well. If you guys want, you know, some feedback or want to provide me with the topic that you want me to post on the CP Travels Facebook page, let me know. I'll put it on there. I'll talk about it in the podcast. We'll see what the people think, right? We'll see what the public says about what's going on. So enough about that. So this podcast is very special to me. It's titled Stranger Things, because we're going to be talking about some strange things. So one question I got in that I kind of want to touch on, and a topic that I think is really important to talk about too, is someone asked me, what's the hardest part about travel in general, right? So what are some things that are hard for me personally? Now, for me, I've traveled a lot, been to a lot of different places. There isn't anything that I like that's really, I think, is difficult or is hard or is impossible to do, or that really stresses me out. And I'm not, you know, trying to be cocky and saying, oh, I've traveled so much, nothing can really surprise me, because there are some times where I'm just like, wow, never seen that. Wow, didn't think that was gonna happen. Oh my God, this is crazy, right? I still have those, oh my God, don't know what to do, gonna figure it out kind of moments. For example, when I went to Australia, showed up at the hostel, thought they had booked our tour, had clients with me, had to figure it out, right? They didn't, but didn't panic, didn't get stressed out, didn't say, oh my God, my vacation is ruined. You pack it up and you keep going. So I kind of want to give, you know, things, I'm going to give my own personal, you know, perspective on the hardest parts of travel for me. And then I'm also going to talk about hardest parts of travel that I've run into, you know, when dealing with clients or when just talking to other travelers who've traveled more than me or traveled less than me. Just some things that come up that make travel difficult at times. So for me, I think, and don't say, oh my God, you're a travel agent. Of course you say this, but it's true. Preparation, right? Preparation for traveling itself is one of the hardest things about travel. Now, for me, preparation is a little bit different for other people, right? So some people who are just doing the all-inclusive vacations to Jamaica or all-inclusive vacations to Punta Cana or all-inclusive wherever you are in or you're going, it's a little bit different, right? So your preparation, again, from my experience, is just, you know, finding a place you want to go, either finding a travel agent, finding a deal online, finding stuff, right? The finding things is the hard part. And then putting the deposit down and paying and then going, requesting time off work, right? So that's preparation for that. Because once you get there, you're paying for all inclusive for a reason. There's nothing else that you really want to worry about. You just want to be at a resort, meeting people if you're really down to do that, or just sitting by yourself, not meeting people, not being bothered with other people. And that's perfectly fine. That's absolutely okay. For me, preparation is a little bit of all that and a little bit more. So before I travel, again, hardest part of traveling, because I do vlogs, I write articles, you know, I do Instagram stories and Facebook stories. One of the hardest parts is preparing that actual story, right? It's one thing to just show up in a place and say, oh, this is what I did. It's really random. And people do like that. They appreciate that. Sometimes we do just pack up and go. We pack our bags. We say we're going to go here. We don't want to make a story. We just want to travel because it's either our first time going to this place and we're trying to figure out for future clients. Or, you know, we just want to go somewhere and just not have to worry about doing all that extra stuff until the trip is over. And that makes sense. But when we're going on trips to places that we've been before or we really, really know that we want to tell an interesting and amazing story, Kenya, for example, Australia, for example, there's a lot of planning that goes into that. Right, you have to think about the story you're trying to tell, what aspects of the trip you want to highlight. Right, sometimes you want to get footage of in the airport, the check-in process, you know, photos of us getting boarding passes, flying on a unique or special flight. Sometimes that's not really important. The audience doesn't care about that. Sometimes you want to get photos of when you land, what it looks like when you walk off the airplane because it's not connected to the terminal. You actually have to walk off the airplane, right? So walking off the airplane in Dubai, when that heat hits you, right, in the middle of the desert in Australia, when that heat hits you, it's tough, it's rough. Like, you want to feel that, you want to capture that raw emotion, right? So that takes a lot of planning. And then, you know, so that's one thing. Again, it's the photos you want to take. Planning, I'm going here, I want to make sure I get this photo from this angle, because I either want to sell the photo, or I want to make sure our audience can understand, you know, the value behind the photo, or like what story do I want to tell behind the photo of this thing that I'm taking. Because it's one thing to take a picture of Uluru, and then there's another thing to, you know, take a picture of a specific part of Uluru in the middle of the outback in Australia, and then describe, hey, this is what this part of this rock means, this is why I took a picture of it. But that takes forethought. Now, sometimes in the moment, you can get those things. I'm not saying you have to think these things through. You have to write it down. You have to write a whole novel about it. You don't necessarily have to do that. But for us, and for me, I really want to know certain things before the trip even starts, because I don't want to spend time planning while I'm out on the trip, unless it's something that comes up, because you want to leave time traveling with clients, traveling by yourself, traveling for any purpose, for things that come up, because things do come up. Same thing for videos as it is with photos, right? Why am I taking a video of this? What do I want to say in the video? Not necessarily writing down word for word, but having an idea, a general idea of what I want to cover during the video, right? What things I want to make sure I say, what things I don't want to leave out, right? Things I want to bring in. These things are important. And again, of course, the podcast, right? So I want to make sure I have topics to talk about in the podcast. So I can't just go and say, oh, this is what I did. That's cool for some places. It doesn't work for everywhere, right? Sometimes I do want to go and talk to specific people to talk about a specific talking point on the podcast. I have things about Australia and Kenya I haven't even been able to cover on the podcast. One, because it takes a long time to talk about those things. I want to make sure I give you guys variety in the podcast. But two, I feel like for some parts, I want to go back. I need to do more. I need to research more. I need to read more. I need to make sure I understand the historical background behind these things and give you guys the raw, you know, the raw experience for me, but also get, like, provide knowledge and context, right? Because some places that people talk to me about, if I don't have any context or they can't provide me with any, you know, any way that I can relate to it, I don't want to listen to it anymore. And that's the same way with podcasts and the same way with traveling. And that's important. But also, when I say preparation, is preparing myself to enjoy it. Yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah, it's a lot of preparation, a lot of writing, a lot of thinking, but you still want to enjoy what you do. And it is my job, and I think we all understand that you do want to enjoy what you do with your job, right? You don't just want to go just to go in and get work done and feel like, man, I didn't even have time to appreciate, you know, what I'm doing. Always, always make sure you appreciate, you know, what you're doing and take time out for that. Okay, like that's important. The second thing for me that's most important and one of the hardest parts, and I think this is for when planning for clients and for myself, is accommodation. And I'm going to dedicate an entire podcast to why hostels is important. So also going to show you in the description, I provide a link for where I find my hostels at. You can use that link and you can find hostels on your own. So click it. It's a really, really good link. I use it all the time, right? But finding a place to stay, accommodation is important. Now, I'm a big advocate for hostels, huge advocate for hostels, but not everyone is. I'm also a clean freak, a germaphobe. I can't, no matter the hostel, hotel, Airbnb, homestay, it doesn't matter. It has to be clean. There is no in between on that. All right. I've slept outside in the middle of the Serengeti. I've slept outside camping in Kenya, slept outside in United States and in Australia, done that. And when it's dirty, I'd be freaking out. That's just me. So accommodation, finding an accommodation that fits everyone, traveling with the group is important because everyone has different, you know, requirements. Patrick, he's like my best friend and my business partner. He can sleep anywhere. He's like, it don't matter. As long as I got a blanket and a pillow, I'm good. Or I can sleep on the floor. And I've come a long way with that. I'm able to sleep anywhere. Accommodation doesn't matter all that much, but it has to be clean. Like the cleanliness thing is really big for me. Again, I've slept in some places that weren't very clean. I've made it work, but not for very long. So like accommodation is important. I think it's important for a lot of people. I think for a lot of people, finding accommodation is difficult, not just for me, but for other people as well, right? Again, when you go for an all-inclusive resort and hotel, you have certain expectations, but I've seen, you know, several different types of accommodation, whether it be hostels, Airbnb, and hotels, where I know exactly what I'm looking for. I also know when a hotel seems nice, but it's not. Right, I think I've been in more disgusting hotels than I've been in hostels or Airbnbs. I think Airbnb does a really good job of providing a space that for give feedback. So like, all right, if your place is dirty, people are letting you know you need to get it together, letting Airbnb know this is not okay, right? And I really think that's a good way of doing things. So I think for me, those two things are some of the things that I personally would say are the hardest part of travel for me personally. I think the next podcast I'm going to cover hostels and where I stay and things like that. But those two things, preparation, meaning preparing for work and preparing for enjoyment, and accommodation, where you stay, right? You wouldn't necessarily think about it. Again, when you're doing all inclusive, it's a little bit easier. But when you're like backpacking, or you're wandering, you're going from one place to the next without really having a plan. And believe it or not, a lot of people do that. Accommodation is important. It really, really is. So now I'm going to talk about, you know, things I've encountered from talking to other people, dealing with clients, and a little bit of myself as well. So one of the hardest parts about traveling that people will struggle to deal with are random things happening. Random things happening, right? So example, weight of bags. So we're experienced travelers, right? Or at least we think, at this time we thought we were. We didn't check, it was one time, the baggage requirements for the flight we were on, because we had been flying for so long during the year. You check carry-on bag, and we always carry on. Always carry on. We don't check bags unless we're going back home or we're going to a place for more than a month. Sometimes even then, you can just carry on. All you need is three pairs of underwear, some shirts, some socks. Honestly, you can buy shirts wherever you are. Toothbrush, you don't even need toothpaste. Your friends always have it, or you find it when you get there. You know, basically travel light. I'm going to podcast about traveling light and the importance of that too. But the weight of your bags, we got there and we thought it was 10 kilos, 20 something pounds. They were like, no, it's 7 pounds, or sorry, 7 kilograms. So of course our bags are 10 kilos. We're like, man, we either got to pay $150 or figure it out. What we ended up doing is taking everything in our bag that was heavy and putting it around our necks, putting on 6 shirts, 3 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of shorts. We figured it out. We made that bag 7 kilograms, but you know, that's something random that happens, right? That's the hard part of traveling, adapting to random things that happen. Another example, flight delays on budget airlines, right? So we were coming back to Taiwan from Thailand, and there was something that went wrong. There was a bomb threat on our plane. We had to go to work the next day at 8 a.m. We got a late flight. We went to go over the weekend, came back. We're going to get off the plane, go to work. Ended up being late, got in trouble. But something like that came up. So we had to be redirected. Again, they don't speak English. Now, when you miss your flight in a foreign country, depending on where you are, when you get, you know, redirected and you have to stay overnight in a hotel and stuff, sometimes they have people that speak English, sometimes they don't, right? So they have to put you up in a hotel, the flight and leave to the next morning. They had to put us up in a hotel. We knew that my credit card would cover any cost if I wanted to get my own hotel, but I had other people with me. They weren't covered, had to go with the group. So when that happened, we had to basically adapt really quickly. No one was speaking English. They were just saying, do this, do that. We just followed the crowd, right? We're like, all right, we know they're going somewhere because they have to put us up somewhere because the plane won't be ready till the next morning. We can't stay in the airport. It's not our fault. It's the airline's fault. So, no, or the bomb threat fault. So we have to figure it out. So that was, again, a random thing that happened that makes travel difficult, right? You have to be prepared for stuff like that. That's a lot of people, they come back a day in advance, you know, to make sure they don't, if something does go wrong with the flight or weather or whatever, they have a little bit of a buffer there for themselves to, you know, to get acclimated to it. Another thing, and when I say on budget airlines, because larger airlines usually have backup plans, but sometimes from our experience flying on budget airlines, they don't have that plan B. That plan B isn't there. It's like, all right, put them up in a hotel. We'll figure it out in the morning. We can't push up a flight or put you guys on a different flight. It's not an option. Another thing is getting somewhere and then no one speaking the language, right? Getting to a country that you thought would have more English speaking, or just going somewhere and knowing they don't speak English and having to figure it out. That's hard for some people. Again, I'm a big advocate of use your hands, sign language, body language, food, you can point, you can figure it out. And again, if you're staying in an all-inclusive resort, ain't necessarily got to worry about that. But sometimes when you venture out and you're just wandering around and you're backpacking like we usually do, that can be difficult. Like, we walked around Italy for a long time. There was no English. Like, at the major attractions, yes, there were. And the subway systems, it's pretty much maps and money and numbers. You can figure it out. But We sat down at many restaurants and they didn't speak any English. We had to figure it out. All right, the menu. I know what that is. I know what pasta is. I know that's a meat. You know what I'm saying? Like figuring that out. That's hard for some people. Some people actively avoid that. Some people really embrace that. They really, really want to do that. I'm one of those people that really, really enjoys going to a place and figuring it out. Now, sometimes it's dangerous at night. Was not a very safe thing to do in Barcelona at night in the dark, not knowing how to get back home. And all the cab drivers only spoke Spanish and we were foreigners and I'm a little bit dark on the darker side. So they're like, oh, I don't like you for real now. So, I mean, that those situations come up, which, again, hard part, random things happening. Another thing, losing luggage, again, always pack light. That's a hard part of traveling. When that happens, it can put a damper on things. Me and Patrick flew to LA one time for the, I think it was the BET Awards or some award show. And we actually had tickets, or a friend had tickets, so we were going to go down to the red carpet. And we could have saw Kobe Bryant and met him, you know, and saw Justin Bieber. Didn't care enough about it, but it would have been cool for my students to see. They'd be like, oh, teacher guy, you saw Justin Bieber, yay. But we missed that because, you know, his luggage, we had to wait at home for his luggage to be delivered. That's a hard part of traveling. Again, a random thing that happens. So random things that happens while you travel are difficult, are hard. And I want to provide some context of what I mean by random things. Some things are expected. Long lines at the airport when you go, when you go through a security, problems at customs, or another random thing that happened to me coming back from Egypt was being pulled into security because they thought I was a terrorist or whatever, I don't know, and almost literally missing my flight. My teacher had to hold up the flight for me. Literally, they were 2 minutes away from pulling off and me not being on that flight. So things like that, again, random things that just come up that make travel difficult. And another one, I guess, the last one I would say in regards to random things is not losing your luggage. Being in a middle seat during an 8-hour flight, that is not fun. I did that coming back from going to Australia. It was bad, right? It's bad, especially when people disrespect the armrest rules. If you're in the middle, I'm getting both them armrests. I want 4 and 5, A and B, all them armrests. If they don't respect it, makes it a little bit difficult. It's not fun, not okay. So yeah, so that's a big part, I think, from just talking to other people, hearing other experiences, talking to clients, is random things that happen that, like, even us as travel agents, we can advise and walk you through it, but in the moment, it can be really frustrating. Like, it's really frustrating when they evacuate you off a plane. Frustrating and scary because, oh, yeah, bomb threat. But you're in a foreign country and all they can say is bomb threat. They can't elaborate on that, right? They can't say why. They can't, like, you know, you want answers in a situation like that because, well, you have to fly on that plane, on that airline, and you don't really know if they're still going to try to go through with it again. You don't want to, you may not have enough money to buy another flight. Those are scary things. Those are random things that happen that, like, throw a wrench, if you will, a wrench. I know what I said. In your travel plans, right? So that's really, really important. Some other things from other people, and it's from clients and so on and so forth, is walking. A lot of people don't understand how much walking you actually do in some places. Again, in Italy, walking around the Colosseum. It's big, it's hot outside. You don't wanna go when it's cold. Some people love the cold, I don't. It's hot outside, it's a lot of walking. Walking through the Vatican, walking through the Louvre in Paris, right? Walking around the Eiffel Tower in the park, walking to it, right? You're not Ubering everywhere. You're not driving everywhere. Sometimes you can't Uber and drive everywhere, right? In Australia, we didn't have cars. When we did the road trip parts, we did, but walking from our hostel, you know, to the waterfront, to the ship place where the boats took off. It's a lot of walking that's required sometimes. And sometimes you don't pack your walking shoes. You don't think to, or your walking shoes don't go with the outfits that you have, right? We're carrying on. I pack flip-flops and I always have my gym, my Huaraches, my walking Huaraches. Had these shoes for 3 years. They super comfortable. I can walk in them. I can hike in them. I can go out to the club in them. Shine them up real nice if I have to. You know what I'm saying? But people don't really think about, you know, or take into account how much walking actually goes into it. When I have visitors come to Taiwan, again, it just slips my mind to tell them, well, I tell them, but how much walking you have to do. The temples are huge here. When we go hiking, Hiking itself, it's a bunch of walking. You know, if you ever want to go see the views of the city, we can drive up the mountain, but then you have to walk up a little bit. You know, like when you're walking around downtown in places that you go visit, it's a lot of walking. If you're not in shape or if you're not used to it, or, you know, you're just not up for a lot of walking, it can, you know, it can it can kind of bring you down. It can make your experience not good. It can be hard. Again, the hardest part about traveling is the walking you have to do in some of these places. And the places I mentioned, we did a lot of walking. Taiwan, Spain, even. Spain was a lot of walking because you have to walk to the train. You have to take public transportation. Even if you take a cab, you got to get out and walk because cabs don't take you up to some of the major landmarks. Rome, a ton of walking. Australia, not so much. When you want to go out, you do a lot of walking, but most of the landmarks are pretty close together and the trains drop you off right at it. Kenya, Africa, a lot of outdoorsy stuff, a lot of walking. And you have to be prepared for those things. You can't just show up and be like, oh yeah, I got it. I see people really get sick and end their trips or stay in the house or miss out on things because they were like, man, we did a lot of walking today. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't mentally prepared. And sometimes it is just mental. Most people are healthy enough to walk around and do things, but if you're not mentally ready for that, because again, when people hear the word vacation, they go into vacation mode, right? Relax, laid back, not having to walk around in the office, or if you're teaching, I have to run after kids, walk around with kids, things like that. So that's something that catches a lot of people off guard. And it's really, really important. Really, really, really important. Another one, hardest part, finding good but inexpensive authentic food, right? And not being afraid to try local food. Like my mother, when she came to visit Taiwan, didn't want to try anything. Nothing. Is it fried chicken? I don't want to eat it. No, she don't just like fried chicken, but if it looked weird, if it smelled different, it was just different. Like I'm like, Ma, the food here is healthy. I've been eating it. You raised me. You cooked food for me. I cook just like you. Even the food at home I cooked, right? I was giving her organic chicken, right? Organic beef that we refined. Like we were organic more vegetables. I eat way more vegetables here than I ever did back home. That's just a product of living here and wanting to eat healthy. She was like, nope, not trying it. And she regrets it to this day. She tells me all the time, man, I wish I had to try more food and try more things because I brought other people out here. My cousin came and they ate everything. Right now, I'll put the pictures up. They're like, oh, this is good. This is good. Stinky tofu. I'm kind of glad she didn't try. My cousin didn't like that. It stinks. It smells terrible. It's gross. I've never eaten it personally, but I recommend other people to try it when they come visit Taiwan. So stinky tofu is exactly what it sounds like. Tofu that smells bad. It smells like a wet sock, a foot, a baby diaper, but you eat it. People eat it here. Taiwanese people, they love it. I don't. People have eaten it here. They said they've enjoyed it. But things like that, trying the local food. And it's not just Taiwan, trying local food. Like we had goat's head in Kenya, and then we had scorpion and cockroaches and worms and stuff in Thailand. I didn't eat a cockroach, but you can eat it. There's a video on our YouTube channel that if you go to CP Travels YouTube, you'll see it. So there's been a bunch of food just in general. I know we're in Spain, we're running low on cash. And if you when you're traveling, you kind of get in the sense that you don't trust food because you don't know, especially if you don't speak the language. So you end up going to more expensive restaurants than you usually would back home, right? Like you don't eat at Red Lobster every day back at home if that's your thing. You don't eat at the Olive Garden if that's your thing. You don't eat at Panera Bread every day. Those are treats, right? You don't go out to eat all the time. You're either cooking at home or you're going to a local mom and pop shop that got good food that you know you like to eat, So looking at, or you're going to McDonald's to get you a McGriddle. Man, I love McGriddles. If y'all want to send me a McGriddle to Taiwan, I would have sure appreciate it. But yeah, so finding good and expensive food and convenient food is a hard part of traveling when you're not staying in a place that has all those things at your doorstep. And again, I'm not saying this to intimidate people from traveling or backpacking or traveling a different way, because it is easy to do it. If not, we can plan and help you, do these things. But they're not hard to do, that some people struggle with these things, right? Some people are good at finding food or okay with eating local food or with eating anything. Some aren't. Some are okay with walking, some aren't, right? It's just things that happen, things that come up. Another thing about accommodation I forgot to bring up is finding accommodation that has what you need, right? That has the right space with the right features, a shuttle bus from the airport, a swimming pool if you're going to a warm weather climate place, a tourist desk, right? If you want to book tours on location instead of booking in advance because you think you'll get different deals, or you want to talk to a local person because most people that work at hostels are local about what you should or should not do, that's important, right? So again, food, accommodation, these things are sometimes difficult when you're looking, for places to stay. What I will say, everything looks good online. That's why we really pride ourselves as a company on having traveled to places that we plan for people to go. People recommend access to recommend a place for them to go. We're recommending based on experience, but we also want to get to know you and get to know you as a person. We can recommend where to go based on you as a person, not just what what we like, right? What we like may not be what you like, but we've done research on a lot of places we even haven't been to, and we can match the places with your personality and what you're trying to do and what you need. Another thing is really important that a lot of people, backpackers and hostels, and just people in general especially struggle with, is not oversleeping when you have a lot to do. Jet lag kicks your butt sometimes. So if you're going to a place for 5 days, you got to plan for a day and a half of jet lag, or you have to adjust your sleep schedule or not fall asleep on a plane. Like, you have to be prepared for that, and that's hard. Some people are jet, they have a 5 day trip to a different country, they're jet lag all 5 days. Going back to America, I was jet lagged for 7 days, longest jet lag of my life. I was like, man, I just couldn't shake it. Sometimes your body responds differently. Are you eating healthy? Are you exercising before you're going to new places? These things matter. These things impact your vacation. They impact the experience that you have. These things are important, are really important. Partying, how you party, how long you party, how drunk you get when you party, how your body recovers after you party, right? What days you want to party versus what days you don't. In Australia, I learned that big time. If I knew we had to get up at 6:30 in the morning, I'm not going to stay out to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to be, if you're hungover the next day, you don't want to be hungover when you're going hiking. It's the worst, throwing up in nature. Everybody looking at you like, what were you doing last night? Yo, you don't want to have the sun hurting your eyes when you're going to the beach the next day and having to have shades on the entire time, not being able to swim, getting nauseous, not being able to get up and get a good meal, and then not eating for most of the day because you're out exploring and everybody not trying to stop because they got up to have breakfast. That's hard for some people. Some people are like, man, I want to party. If you travel by yourself, it's easy. You don't have to worry about these things. I encourage solo travel for people who want to be on their own schedule but don't want to do all-inclusive. I want to go explore a place, but I don't. This person I know ain't going to travel how I want to travel. I would love to have a travel buddy, but I know you're not going to do it the way I want to do it. And if you want a travel buddy and you want me to go, or CP Travis to go with you, then let us know, like, hey, I don't plan on getting up early. I want to do things when I want to do things. Just make sure that I do things during the time that I can do them. That sounds really confusing, but that's real. People have said that. I'm not getting up until 1. Schedule everything we do at 1. I want to make sure I can see these things after 1 o'clock. If it's impossible to do that, wait until later on in the trip where I think I can get up early. But that's real, though, just knowing. But that's hard for some people. Not knowing going in or having to figure that out on the spot, on location, is difficult. I mean, the next thing is chatting, being talkative. It's hard. If you go by yourself or with the group, meeting people is difficult, right? Because you don't know. You meet people, everybody seems really cool, but you don't necessarily know if you want to dedicate a significant portion or even a small portion of your trip talking to them and traveling with them, going places, right? Sometimes it's good to group up and go on a tour, group up and go on an experience, or group up and travel out to a different place, right? So two solo female travelers may link up with two other solo female travelers. One male traveler link up with two other male travelers that known each other for years. So when me and Patrick go out, you can pretty much sell instantly. We've known each other for a long time. We've traveled together, two peas in a pod. But bringing somebody else into the dynamic when we're traveling and we're either working or we're just enjoying ourselves, it can either be intimidating, or for us, it can be annoying. Sometimes it is. It's like, man, we want to do this, but we're trying to accommodate you. You seemed cool, but now you're kind of throwing a wrench in what we're trying to do. We somehow feel obligated to, you know, sticking it out with you for until at least until the end of the day. But then you're like, man, oops, shouldn't have done that. You know, so like those things, those are difficulties you encounter, a hard part of traveling. I think the last two are two of the most difficult things. Unplugging and not talking to people from home 24/7. Seen it a lot. Boyfriend can't go. Moms and dads are worried about you. Siblings hitting you up. Work texting you. It really cuts into your vacation. You got to wake up. You got to call Bay first. Before you eat, you got to call Bay first. You got to take a picture and send it to Bay. And again, if you want to do that, that's your prerogative. You do your thing. I'm never going to impede on what you're doing. But if you're slowing other people down, it becomes a problem. But more importantly, you can never fully engulf, like, put yourself in an experience and have, you know, an authentic and a holistic experience if every 5 seconds you're texting, or in every 5 seconds you're talking to somebody back home. That's, oh, what you doing? Well, I'm trying to enjoy myself. But I'm talking to you instead, you know? Like, but it's hard. That's a hard part of traveling, because as much as you want to get away, you still want to be connected. You still want to put them photos up on the gram, right? You still want to make sure your friends, like, make them jealous for not coming, or make them mad for not coming. You still want to find out what's going on in the group chats. You don't want to miss out on none of the funny stories when you get back. You're still in the loop. You're not out of the loop. Right? You still want to be a part of home, even though you literally traveled with the sole purpose of getting away from home. That's hard. Especially with girlfriends, man. They don't travel with you. I've been with some people who, girlfriends, tell me what you did. What's going on? Why did you text when you woke up? Where you at? What you doing? You posted on Facebook, but you didn't text me first. You don't see how that's rude? And again, to some people, it may be rude. But for me, I'm like, it's my job to keep people on Facebook updated. If you see it, you also update it. I'm not going to tell you first what I'm doing every single time. It's impossible for me to do that. I just don't want to do that. That's way too much control over what I'm doing. I don't like that. So it's hard. There's a lot of pressure because you don't want to lose bae over a 5-day vacation, but you also want to be—you don't want to be snapping on bae during vacation or want bae to be mad and you can't even fully enjoy yourself because bae over there mad because you ain't text bae first when you was going out to the club, but then you put a picture up like, oh my God, I'm having so much fun. And then bae texts you like, oh, fun, huh? Where you at? You're like, oh, snap. I got to reply. If I don't reply, when I get back, you know, it's a problem. So for me, I always set parameters with whoever, whether it's bae, family, hey, and even for myself, I post on Instagram at certain times, unless I'm on a client trip where I'm posting all the time, because I'm at work, that's work. But if it's just me traveling, hey, I'm gonna text you when I wake up, lunchtime, go to sleep. You get three times. I'm not texting you before I go to the koala park. I'm not FaceTiming you when I'm with the koala like, oh yeah, look, wish you were here, boo. No, I'm gonna use that video to take a video, or that time, that phone to take a picture, or just to be in the moment and not take a photo or a picture at all and just enjoy myself. Again, maybe I'm old school. I didn't grow up with all this technology. I like it, but I also like not having it sometimes and just being Carl, being in a place and just taking it all in, looking around with my eyes, not missing anything, noticing subtle details on the road, subtle little alleys to walk down, new things that pop up, right? Being feeling vulnerable without my phone, because it forces you to interact with whoever's with you or just with other people. But when you got your phone and you got Wi-Fi and you're in a new place, walking down the street, snapping photos on Snapchat, taking selfies, texting, you can't really see what's going on. It's also kind of dangerous, in my opinion, in some places. So that's hard. Hardest part about travel. Unplugging. One of. To me, it's top two. Easily top two. And what I tell people, people are like, oh, yeah, send me pictures or text me. If you wanted to see all these things, you should have came. I put these events up 6 months ago. You knew I was going to Egypt in January. I was going to India in February. Going to Amsterdam in March. These are real events we have up on our website, guys. cptravels.com. But you knew these things. You could have came. But now you want to use your tax money to go out and get you a car, buy you some nice shoes, things that don't last forever, things you're eventually going to get rid of. Man, bump that. Again, this is my opinion, not for everybody. Bump that. You're gonna remember going to Amsterdam for the rest of your life. You're going to remember going to Spain and dancing with that dude that had them baby hairs for the rest of your life. You're going to remember making out with that guy on the boat when you was engaged. That's a true story. I can't tell y'all who did that. I hope she don't listen to this. I hope she do, but then know that I didn't sell out. Your fiance still love you, girl. Mm-hmm. But the last thing is the hardest part about travel is if you're not a solo travel, it's getting friends to come. Getting friends to come is hard. It's not easy. Convincing them, aligning up budgets, aligning up dates, it's hard. Like for me, I always wanted to go to Kenya. Nothing was going to stop me from going. I always wanted to go to Australia. Nothing was going to stop me from going. But I go back and I talk to people like, I've always wanted to go. I have nobody to go with me. It's either a place I've already been to, I just have no interest in going. So for me, I know it's just hard. It's hard, especially going overseas. You know, 13-hour flights. I've done that this year. Flew by myself or flown by myself 7 times this year by myself on 8-plus-hour flights. It's sad sometimes. Maybe I've been sad once or twice. But for the most part, I'm good. I ain't got to worry about nobody else, right? I can watch my TV shows. I can walk at my own pace. I don't have to worry about this person's hungry or them stopping to go to the bathroom when I'm trying to clear customs, right? I got global entry, so I ain't got to worry about waiting on them to get through the customs line. I'm breezing through that bad boy, you know? So those things matter. Those things come up. Those things happen. But getting friends to come or just a significant other or convincing them to go, right? That's hard, especially if you're single. All the time is not the time meant to travel with bae. And if you're traveling by yourself, bae going, why are you going by yourself? Why can't I go? So I guess the number one hardest thing I want to say about travel is actually making it to travel. Doing it. Getting up, packing your bags, making the purchases, getting out the door, right? I'm titled this podcast Stranger Things because random things happen. You know, you do random things when you're on vacation. There's so many things that can potentially make travel hard for different people. You know, that it's strange. For me, it's strange. It's strange to go somewhere and not want to walk around to me. It was strange. It's strange to go somewhere and want to be on your phone the entire time. Strange. It was strange. I understand it. I get it. I don't judge. Strange. Stranger things. Strange things. Maybe some people think it's strange for me to like traveling by myself. Right? Or it's strange that the Patrick doesn't mind sleeping on the floor. Right? Or it's strange that we slept outside with a bush toilet. Just a bush. Right? Stranger things. These things happen. These things go on. So for me, that's one of the, you know, the hardest part about travel, in my opinion, you know, preparation, accommodation, bags, creating the story, you know, friends, unplugging and finding good and inexpensive food. All these things are what contribute to, you know, hardest parts or hardest things about travel. So thank you for the person who, you know, asked me this question and want me to talk about this topic. It's really, really good. Any questions, comments, feedback, thing you want me to talk about a little bit more, let me know in the comments or leave a message. Leave a review if you can of the podcast. Let me know how I'm doing, what I should improve on. Always, always welcome feedback. In the description, I have links to my Facebook, my Instagram, the book I wrote, The Unexpected Perspective, which I'm definitely going to be podcasting about really, really soon. And also some YouTube videos from my recent trip in Australia and the GoGive funding link. For those who want to be a part of my experience for 9 months traveling through Africa. I'm Carl. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the Black Expat. We out here.